How big is too big for a little bank? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. After the financial crisis, banks were placed under a microscope by regulators. And despite making record profits, banks on the smaller end of the spectrum have chafed under the many new rules put in place. Today, they are a step closer to catching a break. The Senate is debating a bipartisan bill that would free some small and mid-sized banks from many of these regulations. The goal, lawmakers say, is to help those banks serve more people. But critics argue that fewer rules could mean big problems down the line. Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
The Senate bill is designed to ease the federal government's grip on dozens of banks, those with less than $250 billion in assets. They'd be free from expensive stress tests and some mandatory reporting. Chris Cole with the Independent Community Bankers of America says they could use the savings to offer new loans, especially mortgages.
For those banks that are now out of the market completely, I think they may reconsider and go back into the mortgage lending business.
That may be true for the smallest banks, but the bill raises the cap on the size of banks that will be allowed to skirt regulations, meaning more bigger banks don't have to comply. That's according to Marissa Baradaran, who teaches banking law at the University of Georgia.
These are highly sophisticated, large banks with a lot of complex risks.
And with fewer regulations, they could take on risky mergers or chase higher profits and get into danger zones without the feds knowing it. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. Dow futures are up 0.2%. That's 47 points. S&P futures are holding steady. NASDAQ futures down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.38%. Shares of Starbucks closed 2.5% up yesterday. Starbucks is opening its largest roasting facility in the world in Shanghai. It's 30,000 square feet. The chain is opening a new store in China every 15 hours, according to the CEO. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments today in a case centering around a Colorado law that forbids discrimination based on sexual orientation. A baker in that state refused to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple and says the law forced him to act against his Christian faith. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports the case could have far-reaching implications for businesses.
Some of the nation's largest companies have filed friend of the court briefs in support of the gay couple: American Airlines, Apple, Pfizer. So has the Denver Chamber of Commerce, representing 3,000 business groups. Kelly Bruff is president and CEO.
A business person gets to decide what product they're going to sell or what service they want to offer to the public, but they don't get to decide who they offer that to.
Bruff says if you go into business, you've got to accept the rules of the game. Businesses must serve everybody. Supporters of the same-sex couple say a broad ruling would give businesses more freedom to pick and choose their customers. But Georgetown law professor Randy Barnett, who filed a friend of the court brief supporting the baker, says he's expecting a narrower ruling.
This is about whether individuals can be compelled to communicate messages with which they disagree.
In the case before the court, the owner believes baking a wedding cake expressly sends a message supporting gay marriage, something he opposes. A ruling is expected next June. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
You count on Marketplace to keep you informed about the economy and then some. It's what we talk about and how we talk about it in what we hope is an approachable, objective, and sometimes unexpected way. As a nonprofit news organization, we have a mission that drives what we do every day: to increase economic intelligence across the country. I think it's important work that we're already doing, but with your help, we'll be able to do more of it. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes in knowing that you're helping educate and inform people about the economic forces that affect our lives. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
Every time a song is streamed online, think through Pandora or Spotify, somebody is getting royalties. And those royalties are adding up. A recent report from Goldman Sachs says that by 2030, music as an industry will rake in $41 billion per year. More than 80% of that will come through streaming sites. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports on a new company that's capitalizing on this in a novel way.
Every time somebody streams Eminem's Lose Yourself, or it plays in a bar or at a football game,
Best believe somebody's paying the Pied Piper.
Somebody's collecting what are called performance royalties. Eminem makes money for sure, but in the case of Lose Yourself, another production company is also cashing in. That's because it owns the rights to a big chunk of Eminem's song catalog.
There's hundreds of thousands of these rights holders out there that aren't necessarily the artists themselves.
People like managers or producers, says Jeff Schneider. He's president of Royalty Exchange. That's a marketplace where rights holders and investors can buy and sell royalties. For instance, royalties from this Etta James single
Something's got a hold on me, yeah.
Recently sold for almost $150,000.
We've done about 200 auctions of rights holders' assets.
But Schneider isn't content just being a matchmaker, so he started buying rights to certain royalties generated from things like Eminem's catalog, and selling shares in those royalties to investors through a new public company called Royalty Flow. It's starting out by paying nearly $19 million for royalties from 14 years of Eminem's recordings, including The Eminem Show.
There's lots of really interesting assets out there that, you know, I think we can participate in.
A lot of musicians sell off some of their rights early in their careers when they need money and can't get a bank loan, says Peter Thal, a music attorney.
Songs are intangible. You can't touch them. Intellectual property, copyrights, these things are hard for lenders to understand.
And what about investors? Thal says the boom in streaming is making the rights to performance royalties more valuable than ever.
There is every reason to believe that performing rights is going to increase many-fold over the next 20, 30, 40 years.
But you still got to bet on the right artist. Jeff Schneider's new company, Royalty Flow, just opened up its shares to investors. For Schneider's multi-million-dollar Eminem investment to pay off, Eminem is going to have to stay popular for a long time. But Schneider's optimistic.
Somebody was questioning millennials about kind of what the Stairway to Heaven of their time, the equivalent song, and what was returned was Lose Yourself, you know, by Eminem.
On par with Stairway to Heaven. Consider that, baby boomers. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.